91's All Things Property with Direct Collective.
With Jade here, and I've got Mel Cayley from Direct Collective. Now, Mel, we were just having a really good chat on Hot Weekend earlier, and it's just a conversation that I wanted to extend because I feel like you and I could talk about property forever. But we were talking about the local Sunshine Coast market, obviously, which has gone a little crazy of recent times. So we've seen growth happening, you know, property prices started rising a year or two ago, and everyone said, oh, you know, it's just a little run. It'll stop soon. Now that it feels like we're still running. Okay, now I'm looking at you, and the reason I love talking to you about this stuff, Mel, is because, you know, I've talked about real estate with you in a lot of different roles that I've had in the past, and I've always come to you as a great resource for everything real estate and property because I find that you really drill down into the data and you don't actually care about what everyone else is saying, and you're qualified to say what you say. Now, over a decade ago, you predicted this exact thing would happen and you got a lot of criticism at the time for it. I think it's really important to point that out. And I want to talk to you about not only what's happening at the moment, but I want to talk about where our property market is going, because we all want to know if it's going to slow down and if it's going to stop. And I know you're smiling at me from across the other side there, but let's just get into this quickly. Talk to me about the prediction of your market, the market that we're experiencing on the Sunshine Coast now. What should people living on the Sunshine Coast looking at investing be thinking about or be thinking that is going to happen in the next couple of years?
Yep. Thanks, Jade. So there's a lot in that. But in the next couple of years, what they should be looking at is, in any investing, is what is my position? What is the outcome I'm trying to achieve? And then we look at the risk factors. The challenge is with property is if you go to a barbecue, everyone's got an opinion. Very few of those people have made real money out of property. Very few of those people are accurate in their predictions, you know, including the banks. You know, the banks have been 100% wrong in predictions longer than 12 months. Mm. So, you know, getting real information and making real decisions is hard. Mm. And risk comes from a lack of knowledge. So it's getting that right info. But part of the challenge with property is understanding it from an investment point of view is stop thinking about somewhere where you would live, somewhere where you see yourself. To make money out of property, you have to think about it as a financial instrument. And therefore, it's about understanding the market. And that's how we've been able to make some of the predictions that we've made, is looking at the data and assessing it differently, getting other information to be able to make a sound basis without fooling ourselves, obviously, about what the future might look like.
So, is that sort of taking the emotion out of the buying as well? Buying process a little bit?
Yeah, it's really hard. So the reason we invest in property is because we know we're not going to earn ourselves rich. We know we're not going to save ourselves rich. So we have to do something. We have to act. And the problem is when we don't have all the knowledge that we should, that creates another emotion called fear. So to overcome fear, we come up with other emotions to justify the reasons which we're purchasing. It can be pride. It can be most of them actually come back to pride when it comes to investing for what it's worth. But, you know, I see myself living there in a number of years. You know, there's all these things that actually don't relate to, again, that financial instrument that property should be when you're looking at investing. But it's the justifications that we use to try and overcome the lack of knowledge.
Interesting. And because you're right, everybody says something different. You know, as an everyday person who just loves property, you know, you can go and have a chat with some real estate agents that are, you know, on the front line at the moment selling property. They'll tell you one thing. You go off to your mortgage broker and he will have his input. You know, you will listen to CoreLogic and some research and basic data that's accessible to everybody in the public. And then, you know, there's all the different reports that are written in the media and stuff like that. So there's a lot of noise, and it can be tricky to know who to believe, because everybody wants that crystal ball. Yeah. Everybody wants to know. I want to know that if I go and buy a property tomorrow with $500,000, that I'm going to be rubbing my hands together. I know you're smiling because you can't buy much for 500. But if, you know, if I do that in, you know, 12 or 18 months, I've made, you know, 150, 200 grand on my investment. Like, that's what people want, right?
Correct.
It's trying to sort of forecast what will happen down the track. Now, supply, demand, obviously the basics of economics. Talk to me about how on the Sunshine Coast, there's been massive conversations in the past about the supply demand thing on the coast. And I know from the smirk on your face that you're going to add some value to this, because people have been saying, you know, that there's not really supply issues. Well, there's obviously supply issues to have a run, a property run that we're having at the moment. Talk to me about what your thoughts are on this.
So when you talk about supply and demand, it's about where people can afford, what they're looking to buy, why they want to live there. You know, so it's about understanding what's happening in an economy, but it's more than that. You know, property is also a psychological asset. It's where people want to live and why. And it's their confidence around that space. So that drives a lot of different factors that a lot of people don't look at or understand necessarily from the raw data. And part of the problem is we look at medians. Well, medians, if you go to four different data houses, you'll get four different sets of information. They're back rearwards looking. It's not about the future. And so you have council and state who are trying to collect information to plan, but the planning schemes are almost obsolete by the time they're implemented.
Mm.
So if you look at the data used in 2017, where they said there's going to be 475,000 people on the coast by 2041, well, they've already updated that to 550,000. They've realised that information was wrong. But all the planning in the interim has been done around wrong numbers.
Yeah.
So now they're developing a new planning scheme, but it's not going to be released until 2024. Yeah, and so they're working on that today. So getting those right inputs is really important. And then it's about understanding who it is, who's assessing the data, who's putting that out there. But there's some really anecdotal things that we can look at to prove where the market's at. You know, the rising number of first-time homelessness on the Sunshine Coast. The people who are leaving the coast because they can't afford to live and rent here. You know, the lack of properties that are on the market and how fast they're selling. And then the price pressure in both the price point and from a sale point of view and purchase point of view and the rental prices that we're seeing. So, you know, the highest rental increases in the country have been seen on the Sunshine Coast.
Insane. Because we have had a rental crisis, and that's another whole conversation to be had, obviously. So, okay, so we've got this rental, you know, I guess crisis, like you said. There's more people experiencing homelessness. There's people moving out of the area, people that have lived here for a very long time. We've had what feels like a bit of an influx of buyers from, you know, our southern states, New South Wales, Victoria, sight unseen purchases, all this crazy stuff that we're hearing about at the barbecue,
you know,
when we're talking to people and those real estate agents that, you know, will tell you that, yeah, I smashed this record and the buyer was from Sydney and he didn't even see it and I showed him on FaceTime and he bought it. That's sort of, you know, these kinds of stories. But, you know, I know when I was reporting on real estate with you, and I'm going back a decade or so on the Sunshine Coast, we had these massive, you know, master plan communities that were coming up back then, and I'm talking, of course, about the Caloundra South and all of those developments that are happening, and they're still going ahead at rapid rates. Is that enough to keep up? I guess that's the question.
Yeah. So when we look at supply and demand, and that's what a lot of people say is, oh, you know, there's going to be an oversupply because you look at Aura, but they just don't understand the numbers of people coming and the numbers that are here now. So if you look at the demand between now and 2041 on the forecast, which we believe are wrong, okay, so but let's just assume that that's only the number of people that are coming. Now, to put that in context, the numbers of people that are turning up are about 8,900 a year, and they're saying that's going to continue. Well, into June 30, even through lockdowns, and there's a lot more people planning to come than this, more than 14,000 people turned up
Double.
In the last 12 months, almost, yeah.
Insane.
So, and people say, oh, that's a result of COVID. Well, some of it is, some of it isn't. We can come back to that. But when you start looking at Aura, for example, so of the next 200,000 people that are going to move here over the next 20 years, what the planning is saying is that we're going to put about 70,000 of those into greenfield estates. So Aura's Palmview.
They're like your master plan community.
BOR East.
Okay.
That means 130,000 are going into infill development.
What's infill development?
So infill development is when you take a house and you knock it down, you put a duplex. Or you take four houses, you knock it down, you put up a set of apartments.
Mm-hmm.
You take an acreage property and you cut it up into smaller house blocks. So that infill development, that increase in density, that's 130,000 people. So to put in context the demand over the next 20 years, we need another Aura.
Okay.
And we need another almost three Auras vertically.
Whoa.
Right. So to put that down to a number of what we've needed over the last 5 years is we've needed to finish about 10 new dwellings, apartments, townhouses, houses, 10 new dwellings per day. What we finished has been six.
Okay, so this is on the Sunshine Coast. So Sunshine you're saying Coast. Every single day there should be roughly 10 properties turnkey done.
10 new properties for someone to move into, okay, right. Based on the number of people that are coming here. Not the 14,000, just on the 8,900 based on where we've been.
So we're
just
to meet conservative demand. Here, aren't we?
Yeah, just to meet demand. Mm. Okay, so to meet demand, we've needed to be completing around 10 properties a day, and we've been completing around 6. Okay, so what that means is the undersupply that's created is the immense pressure we're seeing in the market at the moment. So when you look going forward, to catch that up over that next 10 years, just to reach an equilibrium so that we deal with this rental crisis, that we deal with the price pressure that's ongoing, to catch that up over the next 10 years means that we need to build on those forecasts, which we believe are wrong, are 12 to 13 new dwellings per day. So we need to more than double our current output. Now,
that's interesting. Okay, mine's blown a little bit, to be honest, because that's a lot to catch up. And obviously, the further we go down this road, the more we're accumulating that, you know. Is this a lack of land? It's probably a whole other conversation, but does this come back to a lack of, you know, available land and stuff like that, Mel, on the Sunshine Coast? Or do you just think...
So there's a couple of issues that we've got with it. So one of them... So we have land set aside. So Beerwah East, which council, in fairness, has asked to be released in 2026, 2027, and state government has said no. And the part of the reason they said no is because on this piece of paper they've got, they say we have 15 years of land supply. Right.
Okay.
So they're making decisions based on faulty information.
Mm.
So, but by the same token, if you look at council's position, part of the reason that the state is saying we've got 15 years of land supply is in the planning department, they'll sit there and they'll say, here is a piece of land. And this is actually a real piece of land I'm giving an example on. And this piece of land has supply of 44 dwellings. So whether you build apartments, in that case, it would have been townhouses. So they're saying 44 towards that number. The problem is, when you actually look at that number, so firstly you're taking away 8 houses that are currently across that those blocks. Okay, so you're deleting 8 to get the 44. The other challenge is that area is subject to vegetation protection zones and a bushfire overlay. And on top of a bushfire overlay, you have a bushfire buffer zone. So when you actually look at what council will approve on that land, even though they've looked at a parcel of land, and again, it's an arbitrary exercise. Here's amount of land, the number of dwellings per hectare is X, therefore it equals 44. But it doesn't. By the time you take into account those overlays, what you can actually develop on that land, assuming you get a little bit of relaxation on some of those, the bushfire buffer zone, is 17 dwellings.
Right? Wow, that's less than half of
that's
what...
That's right.
Okay.
So they're saying you've got 15 years supply, and we're saying, hang on, there's cases of this in almost every instance across the coast. So there's not 15 years supply. At best, it might be 5 or 6. But it's not being released in time and in the right areas. Because part of the problem then is it's not about the government building it. It's about private enterprise coming in. It's about developers coming in. So then you have some, you know, community backlash in some areas where we're saying, look, we don't want apartments, you know. And extremism in any form is dangerous. We don't want overdevelopment. But underdevelopment will actually undermine our lifestyle and
absolutely
will stop the things we're trying to protect.
So, that's right. Need that happy medium somewhere.
Yeah, and so, you know, trying to get approvals through council for those 17 units takes an extended period of time. I can tell you, I went to do a duplex approval recently. It was subject to fast track approval, so should have been approved within 20 days. It took 9 months.
Wow.
Right? So you then think about a bigger project where we're trying to bring 100 apartments to the market. It takes a year and a half maybe to get through the first stages of council. Then you've got to get into pre-sales. You've got to get enough sales, lock and build contracts, all of those things. It's 3 to 4 years. And there's a huge amount of approvals that actually lapse. So the constraints to supply aren't just getting the ground and identifying the land. It's then all of the other
process
factors, funding and, you know. So this is what's been contributing and adding to the problem. And then, like I said, then you've got land that should be getting released that's just not, because apparently we don't need it.
Got it. So very interesting, because from everything you're telling me right now, obviously the lack of properties that are getting built every day. So we've got that accumulating. We've also got all of the delays in the release of this land and stuff like this. Now, this to me sounds like what we're experiencing right now in our property market has just made a lot more sense, firstly. So thank you for kind of clearing that up a bit, Mel, too. But also makes me think this is not going away. What we're experiencing is not going away. It's not going to be like something we've seen in the past where southern buyers have given our property a little, what I like to call a bit of a run, you know, where prices sort of increase over a little period of time and then they sort of plateau for a while until we go through it again. Sounds to me like we're just going to continue on this path for quite some time. You're the expert. Talk to me. What do you think is happening? What is happening in the next couple of years? What's your prediction?
Okay. So there's two parts to that. There's a macro picture of what's happening across the country, and then there is really the Sunshine Coast example. So just to go big picture for a bit, because part of some of the things that we've been saying, and we were writing in May last year around COVID, is we're saying this is a positive for property, not a negative. When pretty much again everyone else was saying the opposite, because part of the circumstances have nothing to do with COVID. You know, the macroprudential regulation, so, you know, the Banking Royal Commission and all that credit tightening that happened actually reduced supply across the country. So this is the first time in history, because it's not one market, it's not the Australian property market, it's actually more than 2,500 micro markets, the Sunshine Coast being one of those. It's the first time in history more than 2,000 of those markets have been trending north at the one time.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, but that's because of this macro problem that's created. So this isn't a boom, because booms are driven by speculative investment. So the number of investors who are buying in the market. And if you look at normal investment lending, we're about one third below normal levels. So we're almost half of boom time investment lending. Okay. So what that means for nationally is this isn't a boom bust scenario. This is a market rise and then a flattening out. And my view is it's a very, very long term flattening out.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's things that have pulled that forward and amplified that from COVID, absolutely. And there are some regions that are getting what we call a sugar hit because of COVID. but from a very big picture sense is it's not a boom and bust scenario. When you then look at the Sunshine Coast and you apply all of the factors that are driving the market here and the economy and the number of people are coming and everything adds to when you look at that long-term undersupply issue and almost the I can't see how they can resolve it in the next 10 years, suggests the longest or the most protracted upswing cycle in the city's history and potentially of any city in Australia.
Big call. I love it. Mel, I love chatting to you and I love the fact that we can get on here and talk about this, you know, for as long as we like. There's so much to cover. We will be going over a different topic every single week, which I'm very excited about. And if you've got a topic that you want Mel and I to chat about, hit us up, hot91.com.au.
For more on Hot 91's All Things Property with Direct Collective, head to hot91.com.au.